Welcome to the Right Take Podcast, news, ideas, and conversations at the intersection of politics and culture, a project of the David Horowitz Freedom Center. I will be your host, Mark Tapson.
Welcome again to the Right Take Podcast. I am your host, Mark Tapson, and I decided to put off a guest until next week because today I want to address a topic which is all over the news. It's a very tragic, sobering topic, and I'm just going to dive right in. I want to talk about a serious, barbaric threat to our nation, to our civilization, a threat that's been snowballing over the last few years, a threat that our media and far too many politicians have been empowering, a threat that must be named and confronted and stopped. And that threat is the murderous violence, almost daily now, from radical left activists. I'd already planned to talk about this even before the terrible mass shooting that took place on Monday, just yesterday as I record this, at a Nashville private Christian grade school called Covenant, a shooting that left 3 9-year-old students and 3 adults dead. This mass murder was perpetrated by a 28-year-old female, formerly a student at the school, named Audrey Elizabeth Hale, who identified as a transgender male. And that part is not just a side issue, but actually a central significant point. After literally shooting her way into the school, which she reportedly chose as her initial target because there was no security there, and after killing anyone and everyone she encountered inside the school, Hale was taken out by courageous cops who arrived on the scene and ran toward the sound of gunfire as heroes do, and as law enforcement officers are literally required to do, and who eliminated that threat as rapidly as possible. Unlike the shameful cowards in the Uvalde, Texas police force who stood around putting on hand sanitizer while 19 students and 2 adults were being murdered. Hale was heavily armed and prepared to do even more damage than she did, apparently, at other locations, and she left a manifesto reportedly detailing her explanation, the contents of which have not yet been revealed. In fact, Nashville Metro Police announced that they had no intention of releasing the documents to the public anytime soon, which is suspicious. Want to bet that that's because the manifesto explodes the narrative that the left wants so desperately to maintain? The narrative that trans people are the victims of a genocidal bigotry and not mass murderers of children? The narrative that the real terrorist threat to America is white Trump supporters? The police did concede that, according to the documents they found but aren't releasing, Hale's transgender identity played a role in the attack, and that the Christian school was specifically targeted. The LGBT lobby and its far-left allies don't want the manifesto made public, of course. They're trying to deflect any investigation to align with the left's relentless anti-Second Amendment narrative of gun violence. The manifesto should not be published, Jordan Budd, the executive director of Children of Lesbians and Gays Everywhere, told Newsweek. The focus should be on how this was able to happen in the first place. There should not be such easy access to deadly weaponry. No, the immediate and most important focus should be not on the how, but on the why. Why this 28-year-old trans woman was willing to commit suicide by cop by shooting children dead in cold blood at a Christian grade school. That seems like a pretty important why to come to grips with. The how is secondary. Anyway, because not everything has come to light yet, some of what I'm about to say is possibly speculative at this point and is open to correction should contrary facts come to light. But I think you and I both know they won't. You and I both know that this story is exactly what it looks like. Not a trans victim lashing out in anguished frustration at her Christian oppressors, but the murderous hatred of a trans activist for Christians that our culture has demonized as threats to the so-called trans community. Apart from the cold-hearted evil at the heart of these horrific murders, the most disgusting and disturbing aspect of this massacre is the response from many in the news media, and on social media, of course, justifying and defending Hale's actions, while blaming Christians and conservatives for what these apologists falsely label trans hate, and for political policies that purportedly push frustrated trans people to the point of violent retaliation. Something called the Trans Resistance Network in Massachusetts, for example, released a statement on the Covenant School shooting stating that life for transgender people is very difficult due to anti-trans legislation and right-wing personalities. The group also painted a sympathetic picture of Audrey Hale as a complex tragedy who felt she had no other effective way to be seen than to lash out by taking the life of others. No other way to be seen than to kill 9-year-olds? What absolute bull. There is no one more visible in America today than a trans activist. They're celebrated in the culture, lauded as courageous heroes, and given every platform from the daytime show The View to the White House. Audrey Hale felt she had no other way to be seen than to shoot innocents dead? This is such an outrageous rationalization, I can't even begin to express my disgust. 3 9-year-olds and 3 innocent adults have been shot dead, the lives of their families and friends devastated, but the gender ideologues of the left save their sympathy for the trans murderer who has been misgendered and deadnamed in the media. Deadnamed, in case you aren't familiar with such woke concepts, refers to calling transgender people by the name they went by before their transition to a new identity. This is a heinous offense in the eyes of the pro-crime left. Not soft on crime, pro-crime. Speaking of naming people, I'm going to mention here the names of all the victims, because after incidents like this, the names of the victims are quickly forgotten by the public at large, while the name of the mass murderer lives on in infamy. And that perverse kind of glorification, by the way, is actually one of the factors driving such mass murders, including this one, because Audrey Elizabeth Hale apparently messaged a friend just prior to her shooting spree to let her know that she'd be hearing about Audrey in the news shortly. Ideally, it is the victims' names that should live on, and the mass murderer who should be relegated to the dustbin of history. The victims were Evelyn Dykehouse, and forgive me if I'm mispronouncing that, Hallie Scruggs, who was one of the children of the pastor at the school's church, and William Kinney, all age 9. Substitute teacher Cynthia Peake, 61, Catherine Kuntz, 60, the head of the school, and 61-year-old custodian Mike Hill. For obvious reasons, there's already a boatload of commentary out there about this shooting, and I'm going to add my thoughts as well, but this isn't going to be a commentary about gun control or gun violence or any of the usual topics related to mass shootings. It's interesting, though, as a side note, that the mother of the shooter is apparently a gun control activist. Anyway, I want to zero in on this shooting as an inevitable, fatal culmination of media-driven, far-left hysteria about what is being outrageously labeled a conservative genocide against the so-called trans community. And I want to connect it to a larger wave of far-left violence that has been normalized and justified by the leftist news media and leftist political leaders. To pick just one example, NBC's Benjamin Ryan tweeted that, quote, "the shooter identifies as transgender and has no previous criminal record," unquote. Then he pointedly adds, quote, "Nashville is home to the Daily Wire, a hub of anti-trans activity," unquote. Now, obviously, the connection he's insinuating, without any evidence of any kind, is that the Daily Wire's conservative commentators like Matt Walsh are responsible for the shooter Audrey Hale's murder spree, because he refuses to buy into the incoherent lies of the gender ideologues. Newsweek, for another example, tweeted the headline, "Drag shows and gender-affirming care for minors were banned in Tennessee this month, while assault weapons remain legal." So in other words, if only those bigoted conservatives had banned assault weapons, however we define them, and made sexually explicit drag shows and dangerous sex reassignment drugs available to children, those children at Nashville's Covenant School would still be alive. NBC also ran with a story with the headline, quote, "Fear pervades Tennessee's trans community amid focus on Nashville shooter's gender identity. We were already fearing for our lives. Now it's even worse," unquote. As Federalist editor Molly Hemingway put it, gee, you'd think heavily armed Christian children were hunting down trans activists instead of the other way around. A Twitter user with the handle YouSoSerious openly tweeted that he hoped the victims at Covenant were Republicans. That sounds like hate speech to me. When is Twitter going to cancel his account? The day after the shooting, the press secretary for the governor of Arizona tweeted a GIF from a movie in which a character is wielding a pair of handguns, and the message, quote, "This is what we do when we see transphobes," unquote. There's no other way to read that tweet than as support for the actions of mass child killer Audrey Hale. This kind of hatred for and demonization of the left's political enemies have been spread for years now, directed at anyone who dares challenge the radical left's push to eradicate the biological categories of male and female. Courageous opponents of trans ideology from both sides of the political spectrum, for example, Matt Walsh and Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling, have been smeared as bigots and threatened with violence for stating the simple biological truth about the two sexes that have been known and accepted for many thousands of years of human existence, facts that the radical left want to erase as part of their deconstruction of the norms and values and universal truths of Western civilization. Because that's what gender ideology and the other facets of cultural Marxism, like critical race theory, are: a concerted assault on our civilization. And make no mistake, while the actual victims in this massacre at the Christian grade school in Nashville were three little kids and three adult staff members and their families and friends, in the broader sense, the massacre and the entire increasingly violent trans movement is a targeted assault on Christians and Judeo-Christian morality, which is the foundation of our civilization, and which the Marxist left has viewed from as far back as Karl Marx himself as a barrier to their vision of a glorious collectivist utopia. And as I've said often on this podcast and elsewhere, utopian dreams always end in dystopian nightmares. And the left is becoming increasingly comfortable with the idea of waging violence to achieve that vision. Here's an example. A couple of weeks ago on the daytime gabfest The View, hosted by brainless left-wing demagogues, Vietnam-era traitor Jane Fonda joked, and you can't see me right now, but I'm putting air quotes around that word joked, that murdering pro-life Christians was a valid alternative to marching and protesting for social justice and climate justice. Another example. In a now-deleted post on Twitter, a transgender individual posing with an AR-15 and a handgun is pictured along with the words, "Kill Christ cucks, behead Christ cucks," and "Crucify filthy Christ cucks," as well as "Slam dunk a Christ cuck baby into a trash can." The post is hashtagged Trans Day of Vengeance. Does that sound sane to you? Sounds like the kind of person who would cheer at the shooting murder of a 9-year-old student at a Christian school. Or maybe the kind of person who would do the shooting himself, or herself, I don't know. Heaven forbid that I commit felony misgendering. Why is the FBI not investigating that violent lunatic? Maybe because they're too busy manufacturing evidence against the J6 political prisoners, or investigating parents who spoke up at school board meetings to complain about their children being exposed to sexually explicit books in school libraries. Just a week or two ago, I wrote an article for my Substack and did a podcast episode highlighting the increasing marginalization of Christians in the West. Now this week, in the wake of a surge of trans activist threats of vengeance, a trans person breaks into a Christian grade school and shoots little children and school teachers who have never oppressed anyone. This shooting in Nashville came in advance, let it be noted, of a Trans Day of Vengeance set for April 1st and declared by trans activists who claim that this genocide against them is being carried out by those evil haters who don't believe biological males should have unfettered access to girls' restrooms or locker rooms, who don't believe children should be exposed to explicitly sexualized performances by demonically costumed misogynists, and who don't believe women's sports should be dominated by biological males who can't make the grade competing against other men. Andy Ngo, that's N-G-O, the courageous journalist who's done so much to expose the Antifa terror network, tweeted, quote, that the deadly mass shooting comes amid a surge in trans and far-left extremists making threats against Tennessee for banning the medical transitioning of minors, unquote. Speaking of trans activists, last weekend Brendan O'Neill at The Spectator wrote a piece called The Shameful Persecution of Posy Parker in New Zealand. It was about the British women's rights campaigner who calls herself Posy Parker and the deranged mob she faced in Auckland, New Zealand when she dared hold a public event called Let Women Speak, which she has done in the UK, the US, and for the past couple of weeks in Australia and New Zealand. In Auckland, she was surrounded by a raging mob who doused her with what turned out to be tomato soup. She had placards and expletives thrown in her face. The shoving of the crowd became so intense that Parker later said, "I genuinely thought that if I fell to the floor, I would never get up again. My children would lose their mother and my husband would lose his wife." The police, who barely managed to get her to safety, told her she was lucky to be alive. As The Spectator's O'Neill wrote, quote, "The mob's faces were twisted into masks of feral hatred. They ranted in frenzy as the diminutive Parker, her bottle blonde hair stained orange from the soup that had been dumped on her, desperately tried to make her way to the safety of a police car. It was a ritualistic shaming of a witch, a violent purging of a heretic," unquote. And the next time you find yourself wondering how Salem came to be consumed by hysteria over witches, O'Neill wrote, quote, "Watch the clips of Posy's persecution in New Zealand. This is how it happens. This is how the fear of witches can overrule reason and unleash the darkest, most punitive passions of the mob," unquote. Her crime, her heresy, was opposing trans ideology. O'Neill wrote that, quote, "Dissenting from the gospel of gender ideology is to the 21st century what dissenting from the actual gospels was to the 15th, and so Parker must be punished. It was a modern-day stoning, so mercifully they threw only soup and water and planks of cardboard at the blasphemer," unquote. He went on to say, quote, "The misogynistic streak in trans extremism is undeniable now. Watch enraged men kicking down metal barriers so that they might get closer to the witch Posy and tell me this isn't sexism masquerading as radicalism. Witness the crowing of men who are delighted that the mob made the coward TERF run away and tell me this isn't chauvinism on steroids." TERF, by the way, stands for trans-exclusive radical feminists, referring to radical feminists who insist that trans women are not women. "Behold the use of megaphones and expletive-laden chants and physical menace to silence a woman and tell me this isn't a sexist, censorious crusade against women's freedom of speech," unquote. By the way, a female LGBT activist on Twitter tweeted afterward, quote, "It gets me off watching the fear in Posy Parker's eyes," unquote. Think about that. That's serial killer talk. And this activist had no qualms about stating that quiet part out loud on social media for everyone to read. The left's hysterical rhetoric about genocide and about erasing trans people is ginning up violent hatred against normal people who are in turn being smeared as domestic terrorists because, oh, they vote for Trump or because they're white or Christian. That's the left's aim, to claim victimhood while demonizing and marginalizing and then committing violence against, even murdering, those who have been deemed part of the oppressor class, namely white Christians, even Christian children, who stand in the way of the far-left pursuit of social justice revenge and something called trans rights. By the way, what rights do other Americans have that trans people don't have? None. Everyone has the same rights. But that's not enough for the left, who want all their designated victim groups, including the so-called trans community, to have more rights, and the oppressor class, namely white Christians, to have fewer rights. That's called equity, a word that has completely eclipsed and replaced the word equality as a social value and as a civil rights goal. Martin Luther King Jr. is spinning in his grave. Okay, back to leftist violence. The far left has always and everywhere wielded violence as a tool for the overthrow of the existing social order. From the 1917 revolution in Russia, to Mao's China, to the streets of America in the 1960s and 70s, and now all across the Western world, as the radical left has become more empowered to wage violence in the push to institutionalize their woke totalitarianism. That lethality has been ratcheted up in recent years with the arrival on the scene of the Marxist domestic terror group known as Black Lives Matter, which wreaked havoc and devastation in every big city across America and some cities abroad, but were defended as mostly nonviolent by the ideologically sympathetic news media. Same with the violent brown shirts of Antifa, who are the shock troops of the far left today, but who are defended as just an idea by no less than our brain-dead President Joe Biden. Biden, by the way, shuffled about cracking jokes about ice cream in a press conference just prior to making a statement about the horrors of the Nashville school shooting. Talk about tone deaf. He and his fellow politicians and news propagandists wasted no time, by the way, calling for gun control, as they always do, and declaring that Republicans who don't vote for it have the blood of children on their hands. Let me make something perfectly clear. There is no cause, no activism, no social justice issue that can justify or excuse shooting 9-year-olds dead, or innocent people of any age. If your cause spurs you to murder people, then your cause is evil, and so are you. Furthermore, if your cause leads you to blame those victims, including children, for pushing the murderer to pull the trigger, then your cause is evil, and so are you. To sum up, the far left is a barbaric mob of cowards and killers. They are a godless anti-civilization cult of death and destruction. They prove it every day. Many of them gleefully embrace it. They revel in their vile hatred of people that they smear as fascists while hiding behind masks and targeting innocents for violence and death. We are at war in this country and throughout the Western world with a neo-Marxist movement lusting for power and control. They comprise the entire class of globalist elites. They have infiltrated and control every political and cultural institution. They dominate nearly every human resources department and our entire educational system from pre-K all the way through grad school. And their mission is to eradicate any opposition to their human-centered utopian dream. Let me close with this tweet from the Daily Wire's Matt Walsh, who wrote on Monday, quote, "Always remember what happened at the Covenant School. Remember what happened to those innocent victims, to those children. We are facing a truly demonic evil. Never forget that," unquote. Truly demonic evil indeed. It must be named, confronted, and destroyed. Our civilization depends on it. Thanks for joining me here at the intersection of politics and culture. Please don't forget to subscribe. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. Until next time, I'm Mark Tapson, and this has been the Right Take Podcast. The Right Take with Mark Tapson is a project of the David Horowitz Freedom Center and Front Page Magazine. Unauthorized reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.